This morning I want to talk about something disturbing, something that makes us uncomfortable. Death. To understand the meaning of Easter, we need to recognize that at the end of Good Friday, Jesus was dead. How do we know? Not only was he crucified, but we're told that a spear was thrust in his side. Thus John records, "But when they came to Jesus and found he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water." Not only that, but when Joseph went to claim the dead body, Pilate couldn't actually believe it at first that Jesus was already dead. And so he called the centurion and interrogated him to make sure that Jesus was really dead. Not only that, but two honorable men, two men of repute, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, handled the body. I don't know if you've ever handled a body. Many years ago in Malaysia, one of the students staying with us went out of the house very early in the morning, and he came back very quickly. And he said, "There's someone lying at the side of the road. Please come and look." And I went to look. And I examined the person lying at the side of the road. He was dead. There was no doubt whatsoever about it. And Joseph and Nicodemus handled that body, wrapped that body. They knew that Jesus was dead. No doubt about it. But more than just dead, he was devastatingly dead. What on earth can I mean by that? How can you be more than dead? How can you be devastatingly dead? He was devastatingly dead because of the effect his death had on others. First of all, there was the shame. Jesus' death was no ordinary death. It was the death of a criminal. And all those who associated with him would always be taunted that their leader, the one they loved, died the death of a criminal on a cross. And as it's written in Deuteronomy, anyone who's hung on a tree is under God's curse. But it was also a devastating death because of loss, personal loss. And so Jesus had friends, he had families, people who looked to him as an inspirational leader. And they all felt that devastating loss when he died. But it was more than just loss. There was also guilt. We know that Peter, after he denied Jesus, went out and he wept bitterly because of his guilt. We know too that Judas, who betrayed Jesus, he went out full of remorse and hung himself because of guilt. But not just guilt, there was also fear. And so John records that the disciples, after the death of Jesus, met in a locked room because they were frightened that they might be next. But more than all, there was despair. Because you see, Jesus came with a message of hope. Jesus came with a message of something new happening in the world that Jesus was going to lead. And now he was dead. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And at that time, the disciples must have only thought one thing. Everything is over. All that Jesus stood for is at an end. You see, Jesus was devastatingly dead. Of the Jewish week, our Sunday, rumors began to spread that something beyond belief, something amazing had occurred. That Jesus was alive. But more than that, he was amazingly alive. What do I mean, amazingly alive? Some have suggested that maybe in the cool of the tomb, Jesus really wasn't dead and he resuscitated. And somehow he squeezed out past the boulder. He sneaked below the gaze of the guards and he appeared before the disciples. That would be like walking dead. That would be barely alive. But no, Jesus was amazingly alive. How do we know? There are six clues in Scripture that I believe are important to understand this. First of all, the women. Praise God for women, and praise God for women in the Bible. When Cleopas was walking and talking with Jesus, unbeknown, he said to Jesus, "Some of our women amazed us." How did the women amaze? They amazed because they were saying that Jesus was alive. Why is this important? This is important because in each of the four Gospels, it refers to the women being the first witnesses. Now, if you were to make up a story and you wanted to prove that Jesus was alive, in those days, and don't get me wrong, in those days, you would not have picked women because women's testimony could not be received in court. You would have picked someone like Joseph or someone like Nicodemus. But the very fact that they picked women showed that this was something genuine. More than that, not only the women, but also the empty tomb and the grave clothes. There was no question the body was gone and no one could find it. Mary couldn't find it. The disciples couldn't find it. The soldiers couldn't find it. The religious authorities couldn't find it. No one could find it. Why? Because Jesus was amazingly alive. And the grave clothes were there, left neatly, because Jesus had risen, no longer needing those grave clothes. He was amazingly alive. Not only that, he was seen by the 11 disciples, no longer 12, because Judas was no longer with them. And no longer in the distance as a sort of hallucination or a dream. They met with Jesus in that locked room that John talked about. There he was in their midst. And then in subsequent days, there he was to show himself to Thomas, for Thomas to see the wounds on his body. And then weeks later, there was Jesus having a barbecue with them on the beach. They knew that Jesus was amazingly alive. And then some 20 years later, Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, wants to demonstrate to them that Jesus is alive, because this is so important in Christian belief. And Paul refers to more than 500 who saw the risen Christ. Risen. He was amazingly alive. And something that we practice today reminds us too that Jesus was amazingly alive. Because we're here on a Sunday. Because Christians all over the world are worshiping on a Sunday. Why on earth are we coming on a Sunday? It should be the Sabbath, the Saturday, the Friday, Saturday. Why on a Sunday? And there is only one reason why we come on a Sunday. Every time we come on a Sunday, we celebrate that first Easter. We celebrate that Jesus is amazingly alive. And unfortunately, people like the Seventh-day Adventists, who only worship on a Saturday, or Jehovah's Witnesses who say any day will do, miss the point. Sunday is important because on coming on Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus is alive. But actually, there's something even more important. How do we know that Jesus is alive? We know because of transformed lives. Just think about it. Peter, for example, just days before, he had been frightened in front of a little girl, in front of a serving maid. And she asked him, "Aren't you a follower of Jesus?" And he said, "No, I don't even know the man." And yet, weeks later, Peter is standing in front of thousands preaching that Jesus is alive. How did that happen? Because Jesus was amazingly alive. And not just Peter, Paul too. Paul, who could have been called, as it were, the Antichrist. No one more than Paul sought to persecute the Christians, sought to imprison them, sought to deny the risen Christ. And Paul came to acknowledge that Jesus was amazingly alive. Why did Peter and Paul change? Because Jesus was amazingly alive. Because Jesus became amazingly alive, everything is changed. Jesus' final words on the cross, "It is finished," no longer mean that it's the end of all that Jesus hoped and planned for. It meant that his work was complete and that our work was just beginning. Jesus' return to life marks a victory over sin and death. And because Jesus lives, we will live also. As we read the pages of the New Testament, we discover that the believers gave a radical response to the news that Jesus was amazingly alive. We thought about Peter, timid in front of a young girl, bold now because of Jesus was alive. We thought of Paul, who became the outstanding missionary of the New Testament times, who gave his life completely and wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. But not just those people. We discover that the believers in Jesus were changed too. They longed daily to learn more about Jesus. They listened to the words of the apostles. They spent much time in prayer and worship. They reached out into the community. They gossiped the gospel. They shared with their friends, their relatives, the good news that Jesus was alive. They brought blessing to others. Why? Because Jesus was alive. And because Jesus is alive, we know that all that he taught, that his promises are true. One of the great promises of Jesus is this: "I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness." What Jesus promised is not just a place in heaven. Jesus promised a life in all its fullness here and now. And this is the testimony of many Christians, that when they came to faith in Christ, it transformed their lives, gave them new meaning and purpose in life. And more than that, when we die, we have no fear of death because it's a seamless transition from being present with Christ in this world to being present with Christ in a new world. It's like walking through a door to a new place with Christ. How about you? Do you believe that Jesus is amazingly alive? If yes, then welcome him into your heart and your life to change and transform you, to be not just your savior and rescuer, but also to be your Lord, your guide, your comforter, the one who is with you through your life. For some of you, this might actually be the first time that you recognize Jesus is alive. For some of you too, it may be that you've known this in your head, in your mind, intellectually. but you've never actually transferred it to your heart and soul. And so I plead with you this morning, Jesus is alive. This is my testimony. This is the testimony of countless Christians. Believe it, act on it. Allow the Lord Jesus to change and transform your life.